me to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 17. Verse 22. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Most of us know this verse. You've probably even heard a few sermons on it before. Hopefully you never heard one like I'm going to give you today. A joyful heart does good like medicine, doesn't it? That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. I believe it from cover to cover. I believe it's the Word of God. Jesus said, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of the Lord will stand forever. Amen. Even into the eternities in the future, God's Word is sure. And a joyful heart does good like medicine. The world is full of negativity, full of negative people. Negative people, positive people, takes all kinds. You can focus on the beauty of the rose, or you can focus on the thorns. Christopher was helping me take Christmas lights down yesterday, and we kind of let them drop, and we have a rose bush out front, and he's pulling them out. I saw him. You don't see the flowers this time of year, but the thorns are still there. A glass of water can be half full, half empty. Some people think it's everyone else's responsibility to meet their physical and emotional needs. But actually, it's your responsibility. Amen? Yours and God's. Not my responsibility to make you happy. Not my responsibility to fix your problems. People come to the pastor thinking he's God. I'm not God. I'm just a man like you. I got my own set of problems. I can tell you what the Bible says. Tell you what the Word of God says. But then you have to obey it. Amen? Then you have to do what it says. Now, teenagers, of course, are not normal. I had three teenagers at various stages of my life. And, you know, they're just not normal. They roll their eyes and have attitudes. And I can remember one time having a few teenagers around the dining room table over dinner. And, you know, dad, you know, rolling the eyes. And I periodically, if you know me, there's a phrase that I say periodically at random places in my life. This is the happiest day of my life. And I said it a lot when I had teenagers at home. Why do you say that, Brother Roger? Because the words of your mouth program your heart. I'm a computer programmer. We have a term in computer programming, GIGO. Stands for garbage in, garbage out. I remember when I was in the mainframe computer lab at TJC, some guy said to the instructor, why is this doing this? He said, because you told it to. Sometimes you can write a program and you can, I cannot figure out why this is doing it, but I guarantee it's doing it because you told it to. You just didn't know you told it to. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever I say, words of my mouth program my heart. And I can speak life-giving words, or I can speak life-defeating words. I can say, this is a miserable day, or I can say, this is the happiest day of my life. I got a mercury switch in that I ordered from Amazon for a latest project I'm doing in my man cave. And I took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook and put, got my mercury switch in, this is the happiest day of my life. A lady by the name of Becky Monk, you know Becky Monk, Nola. She posted underneath there, question mark? And Carolyn saw it before me. Didn't you respond to it? And she posted, this is just something Roger says. That's why I like him. He's so positive. Happiest day of my life. You know, it's really hard to have an attitude or a frown on your face when you say that. So let's just practice it once. Everybody with me? This is the happiest day of my life. Oh, come on. You guys can do better than that. Everybody. Come on, everybody. This is the happiest day of my life. One more time. This is the happiest day. See, it works. It works. It works. Programs your heart. I remember I was at Charlie's Chicken back when Kaylee, before she got married. And, you know, they just opened the one down here. There was one, and then it closed down. It was, you know, and then they built a new building. And this was before they diagnosed me with diabetes, where I was eating anything I wanted in any quantities I wanted it. And I noticed they had an ice cream machine. Not behind the counter, just for you to go up and eat all the ice cream you wanted after you ate. And I went up there, and I said, "This is the happiest day of my life." And there was this bent over, shriveled, bitter, angry old woman. He said, "Well, how do you know that she was all that?" "I could just tell." And she turned around. She's sitting at the booth right behind the ice cream. She goes, "What's the matter with you? Did you get married?" And I said, "No, they got ice cream." "I thought you got married." Some people, church people like that sometimes look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. That old lady kind of reminded me of, there's one of my favorite movies. It's called Uncle Buck. How many of you guys have ever seen Uncle Buck before? Remember the principal with the big wart? And he's like, "Hi, I'm the kid's wart. I'm Uncle Melanoma." Remember that? And it finally ends with her talking about how she's this little kindergartner, first grade girl, is a silly girl, and she dreams, and she's, you know, and he's like, "I don't know anyone that age. It shouldn't be, you know?" And yet Jesus said to become like kids, we should be silly hearts. Amen? And, of course, the scene ends with him flipping her quarter and telling her to go downtown and have a rat chew that thing off of her face. Bet you never heard that in a sermon before, have you? But you know what? I told you it's a different sermon. A joyful heart does good like medicine, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. God has given us everything we need to have a happy life if we will just put it into practice. So why don't people have a merry heart? Well, I'm going to give you 5 points of why people don't have a merry heart. Number one, they don't have a giving heart. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, the Bible has that word blessed. It just means happy. You're happier giving than getting. Now, that's the kind of logic that people don't really always understand. I tell you, I was really impressed yesterday as we were heading to Tulsa. Christopher went out with a buddy to... didn't know you was going to be my sermon, did you, Chris? He's like, going to slide down in the seat. Went to his buddy to the casino, and he was up $20. His buddy was down $40. So he gave him the $20 he made. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. He blessed him. And in turn, you get blessed. Because a giving heart is a merry heart. Amen? The Bible says by not tithing, you're robbing God. That's, you know, the reason why people aren't happy is they don't have a giving heart, a generous heart. Have you ever seen kids? You know, I keep going back to kids because we're supposed to be like kids. Have you ever seen kids? They just want to give you their stuff. You're like, "Oh, wow, can I have that? Okay, here. Just take it. It's okay. I didn't buy it. Daddy bought it for me. He'll buy me another one. Have it," you know? They're just giving. But people who have money want more money. Money does not make you happy. In fact, it kind of makes you grumpy. I think of my favorite Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter. And Jimmy Stewart, you're a twisted, grumpy old man. Remember that, where he tells off Mr. Potter? Mr. Potter had all the money he needed, but that didn't buy him happiness. He wasn't happy. Money doesn't make you happy. Of course, he didn't learn that till the last. Remember, he told the angel, "What, I suppose you don't have any money. Oh, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub." Remember that? It does come in handy. But you know what? The Bible says that the Lord is my source. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And I tell you what, you cannot outgive God. There was a time in my life where I had more bills than I had money, and I couldn't tithe. And I realized that God is really more concerned with faithfulness. Yes, you are supposed to tithe. But if you can't tithe, then if you can give $3 out of every paycheck and you do it faithfully, then God will bless you. And then before you know it, you'll be able to give 6 or 9 or 12 or whatever. But God wants you to have a giving heart. And the number one reason why people don't experience this happiness is they don't have a giving heart. Number two, they don't go to church enough. They don't go to church enough. Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Where are you going? Going to church. I'd rather stay in bed. I wouldn't. I want to go to church. Can we go to church? Is it time to go to church? What time are we going to church? What time does church start? Let's go to church. Why do you want to go to church? Because I can praise the Lord. Because I'm with people I love. I'm going to spend eternity with you guys. If you don't like me, deal with it. You're going to spend eternity with me. Right? We're going to go to heaven. We get to be with Jesus. We have a heritage. We've been adopted into a family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Aren't you glad that your life is here with God in Christ? Aren't you glad your name is written in heaven? Jesus said, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Just get happy that you're saved. Amen? Saved. I'm saved. It's exciting. So I want to go to church. I want to be around God's people. We used to sing the song, what a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Remember that? So we get to go to church. So we go to church. We should go to church every chance we get. And just like tithing, the reason people aren't happy is because they don't give a portion of their time to God, not just their money. And I'm not preaching on money. I don't care. It's between you and God what you give. I'm talking about finding the joy in life that may be missing. Give your money. Give your time to God. You can't outgive. The Bible says whatever you sow, you what? Reap, right? And so as I sow, just like a farmer, if I plant seeds in the fall, I'll get a harvest. And as I begin to sow my money, as I begin to sow my time to God, then all of a sudden everything begins to fall into place. The Bible says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. When I begin to get my priorities straight and my money and my time, then all of a sudden everything falls into place. My bills are paid. I have more time than I realize. Number three. They don't consider others. You know, because this sermon was one of those that was thrown together at the last minute, sometimes, and I'm being honest with you, preachers, sometimes, did I really hear God? Maybe, Lord, I should preach that Romans chapter 4 sermon. I can preach that real easy without notes, Lord. I'm up here playing the drums, and I'm thinking, am I really supposed to preach this joyful heart message, or should I go to the Romans 4 one? And then Eddie reads Philippians 2. Which is my third point. They don't consider others. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit, in one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but to the interest of others. The reason why people don't experience joy is they're so focused on self. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? And instead, you should be thinking of, what about her? What about him? What about what she's going through? Get your eyes off yourself and begin to think about others, the interest of others, Paul said. Now, incidentally, I just want to remind you, here's a man who wrote this, think about others, in jail. He's in a Philippian jail when he writes it. He's cold. You know, bring me my coat. It's a cold, damp, wet, dark jail. And he's telling you, think about others. What a man of God. You know, we went to the nursing home not too long ago. They're very familiar with medicine there. You know, Joyful Heart does good like medicine. they have pill boxes. I don't know. Maybe they don't get to keep their own. Maybe the nurses do all that for them. Can you imagine having to be a nurse and keep track of pill boxes for how many people there? 100? Yeah, 70 people. And on average, those people that age probably take 7 or 8 prescriptions, some less, some more. You know, 7 times 70 is 490 pills. What do? I manage 490 pills for these people. You need a job somewhere else. No, just kidding. So we were at this nursing home, and we're visiting all these people. And I'm kind of goofy, in case you haven't noticed. And I honestly believe this, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but I believe that I have one of my ministry gifts is a spirit of humor. And I'm not saying that I am always exercising it properly, and I'm not saying that it's always God. Sometimes it's just me being goofy. But this night, Jonay was there. I know it was the Lord. You see, they've got all these people bringing them pills, but what sometimes they need is a merry heart. Amen? And we're at the nursing home, and was this the roommate of your mother? Were you there with me at the time? No, it was just somebody else. Yeah, I didn't know if she was in the room when this happened. Jonay was there. I don't know who this lady was. But something came over me, and I started doing bad jokes. I really believe it was the Lord. And I started, and she's laughing, I'm laughing, and then I'm on a roll now. You know, I got an audience. It doesn't take much for me. And so I said, and I saw a guy down the hall, and he said, I haven't had a bite in 2 weeks. And at the same time, she says the punchline, so you bit him. And she were just laughing and just carrying on a great time in the Lord. Amen. And so, what am I saying? We need to consider others. This woman here, I'm not boasting, God forbid. But I got a feeling that medicine that day probably did more for her than any of those pills. A merry heart does good like medicine. And we don't know what people are going through. One day a couple years ago, I was at the Arvest Bank inside, and I'm in line. And I'd been listening to, what was the guy's name? Rodney Dangerfield on YouTube. I was on a Rodney Dangerfield. I get no respect, right? So I'd been listening to all these funny things of him. And so I'm in line, and I look over at this lady, and she looks like she wished she was somewhere else. And we're side by side in line. And I say to her, you know, my ex-wife's cooking was so bad, the flies got together and fixed the screen door. And she started laughing. And so, again, you know, I got an audience. I'm on a roll, so bam, bam. And she's almost in tears laughing so hard. And the lady behind the counter is giving me one of those looks like, why don't you just shut up and get through the line, mister, you know. And I don't know what was going on in the lady's life. But what if she was having one of the worst days of her life? And we have an opportunity to bring joy in someone's life. Not everybody tells goofy jokes, but we can certainly smile. We can certainly say something positive. Amen? A merry heart does good like medicine. And we need to consider others. That's point number three. Consider others. Think about what others are going through. Get your eyes off yourself. Number four. These are, why don't people have a merry heart? Number four, they don't love righteousness and hate wickedness. Psalm 45:7, thou loves righteousness and hates wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And that, interestingly enough, when God has a verse in the Bible more than once, it's there for a reason. That's quoted then in Hebrews 1:9, the same verse, that because you love righteousness and hate wicked, God, therefore your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellow man. I've heard people say, got to watch out when someone's smiling, they're up to something. Have you ever heard that before? Maybe they're just happy. maybe, just maybe, they, when other people were going to bars, they were sitting there reading their Bible, hungering for the righteousness, and God has filled them with the oil of gladness, and they just have this river of oil flowing through them, and they're just happy. Maybe they get up in the morning and they sing because the Spirit of God has flowed oil of gladness through them. Amen? You know, we're not talking about abstract spirituality here. We're talking about where the rubber meets the road. We're talking about having joy instead of being grumpy. We're talking about having happiness instead of being depressed. We're talking about things that make life worth living. Amen? Joy. So they love righteousness and hate wickedness. You know, this whole oil of gladness makes me think of the Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man, right? Remember that? Oil can, right? He wants the oil can. Why does he want the oil can? Because he has rusted stiff. Because he has stood out in the rain, and he is rusted, and he can't move. I wonder if we could see in the spiritual realm sometimes people who have spent their life in the wrong place, in the wrong time, and inside they are dry and rusty, and they need the oil of gladness. And they don't know what they need, and it's up to us to give it to them. We are the oil cans. Amen. We are the oil cans. We can take the oil of gladness and share it with others. So number one, they don't have a giving heart. Number two, they don't go to church. Number three, they don't consider others. Number four, they don't love righteousness and hate wickedness. Number five, they think it's unspiritual to laugh. Hey, don't laugh. Been there, done it, and got the T-shirt. I was ministering at a church one time. It was around Halloween, and I said, you know why the skeleton didn't cross the road? He didn't have the guts. And this woman said, I was just trying to picture your grandmother talking that way. You know, you aren't spiritual if you joke in church. It's a time to be serious, right? Sometimes they use that verse from Ephesians on foolish jesting. When you read Ephesians 5, it's really talking about sexual immorality. So next time someone says that to you, say, are you looking at porn on the internet? That'll shut them up. Just like that. But then the second part of this verse says, a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, we all have had an opportunity to have a broken spirit. You, me, everybody. And doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a time to grieve. I have been there, and so have you. I've had my heartaches. I've had my pain. But you have to go on. You cannot live there. You cannot live there. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. And if my needs are for me to have joy and not live with a broken spirit, then God will provide it. Amen? So, what happens to a person who wants to live there? They get bone cancer and die. The bones dry up and they die. They say, you know, they say that dentists say that the reason people, some people have headaches or teeth problems because they grit their teeth because they're angry. It's called unforgiveness. It's called not able to let go of what he, you don't know what he did. You don't know what she did to me, right? Shake it off and make the devil take it back. When Paul was shipwrecked on the island and they're gathering wood, the serpent latched onto his hand. What'd he do? He shook it off. Into the fire. Some of you guys just need to shake that thing off into the fire and go on. Amen. If you don't, you will die of bone cancer. I mean, I don't know what dried up bones are. So that's what I'm interpreting that to be. So here's your option. You can shake it off and get happy, or you can die of bone. They say that bone cancer is one of the most painful forms of death that you can experience. Imagine your bones rotting inside of you, and every time you move a muscle, it puts pressure on a cracking bone. Now that I've grossed you all out, what are we having for lunch today? Bone cancer. Think about it. If I had a choice between memorizing jokes to be an oil can for someone or dying of bone cancer, I think I'll take the jokes. It's a no-brainer. Now, how many of you guys ever seen the Winnie the Pooh or read any of the Winnie the Pooh books? Right? Some of you know where I'm going with this. Winnie the Pooh, of course, is the one who wants the honey. Hopefully we're all Winnie the Poohs here. The honey is the word of God. Honey from the rock, right? So we're all supposed to aspire to be Winnie the Poohs. And everybody wants to be around Winnie the Pooh. He's cute. He's lovable. How could you not love Winnie the Pooh? But there's another character. He's the donkey. He's never happy. He's never fun to be around. He's always depressed. Everything is bad. Nothing is good. Oh. I had to do a little research because I don't read the books, and it's been a long time probably since I watched the cartoons that Disney does, but his tail falls off. So maybe you don't repent, your tail's going to fall off. The other thing that happens to Eeyore is apparently his house of sticks always falls apart and has to be rebuilt. Is that right? Does everybody know that? So, you know, if you don't repent of your negativity and if you don't start having a merry heart, your house is going to fall apart and your tail's going to fall off. I'm being silly. All right, flip over with me real quick as we close to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 are called the Beatitudes. I like to hyphenate it, Beatitudes. And even though most translations say blessed, you can put happy there. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Happy are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Happy are the meek. Now, you know, that mourning and comfort means that you have a period of mourning, and then you are happy, right? You don't live in the mourning, right? Happy are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. I tell you what, I can promise you firsthand that if you really hunger for God, He will fill you. And it's like taking a shower on the inside. It's the greatest thing that you can ever feel in your life. At times when you've been in the Word and praying and you feel the Spirit of God and you feel like you're walking above the sidewalk and your head is like just Jesus is just 3 inches from the top of your head. It's the greatest thing in the world. I don't know why someone wouldn't want that. It's great. It's wonderful. It's the greatest high you can ever experience. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, you know, I have to tell Sister Jeannie's aunt joke. You're on a date with your girlfriend. You spread out the red tablecloth on the grass in the park. You got the picnic basket. Your girlfriend's there. She's beautiful. Her eyes are just beautiful, red lips. You lean over to give her a kiss, but right about that time, an ant has crawled up your shorts and stings you right on your posterior. and you realize you put your blanket on an anthill, and you brush the ants off, and you see the one fall out of your shorts, and you put your thumb there, and don't you know I could squish you? Mercy takes your thumb away. Because every one of us, without exception, have stung the heart of God by saying, I'll never do that again, and then we did it. And God could just as easily as us and an ant take his thumb and you would be gone. But mercy takes the hand away. And each one of us are here today because of the mercies of God. And how much more should we show mercy to someone else? Happy are the merciful, for they obtain mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, I kept talking about kids because we're supposed to be like kids. Kids are innocent. Kids are sweet. Kids give their toys away. Kids happy. Have you ever seen, with Facebook and the internet now, there's a lot of these videos. There's one I saw a few years ago, and it came back around again. This woman's got like, I don't know how many, 7 kids are. I can't keep sex tips. I don't know. She's got these handful of kids, and her husband's doing something, and these 7 little babies all dressed the same start giggling. Have you ever seen those videos of babies giggling? Have you ever heard a baby laugh and giggle? You can't help but laugh. You can't help but just start laughing, and you hear these little babies, and they all start laughing, and you just laugh with them. You know, babies are pure in heart. They say that, you know, when a baby's sleeping and you see them kind of smile in their sleep, that an angel's tickling them or something. I mean, they're just so close to God. That innocence. They're pure in heart. They'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. And then he ends with, happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Most people who say they're persecuted for righteousness' sake probably aren't. Oh, my boss doesn't like me. I'm being persecuted. No, you didn't show up for work. You got fired because you didn't show up. That's not persecution. That's stupidity. Go to work and you won't lose your job. Right? I mean, duh. But if by chance you are persecuted for righteousness' sake and you're truly right with God, then you're happy. The Bible says that the apostles have themselves so thankful that they were worthy to suffer for the sake of the name, for the sake of the name of Jesus. You know? Happy. Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. I got to suffer for Jesus' sake. I am in his company. I got to suffer for Christ's sake. The be attitudes, the happy attitudes. We should memorize these. We should study them. We should consider them. For a merry heart, come on up, Nola, does good like medicine. In a world of negativity, we are the oil cans, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Eddie's reading from Philippians 2 reminds us that our focus should be on others. People say, I just love Christmas, don't you? You know why you love Christmas? Because you're buying gifts for others. You're not thinking of yourself. People say, it's such a joyous time of year. Yeah, because you're thinking of others, not yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. As we begin to pray this afternoon or this morning, I'd like you to ask the Lord of these 5 points. If any of these may fit you, don't have a giving heart, you don't go to church enough, you don't consider others, you don't love righteousness, hate wickedness, or you think it's unspiritual to laugh. just ask the Lord to take an inventory of your life and say, Lord, if these are me, help me to change. I want to be a merry person. I want to be joyful. I know, Lord, that we are to exhibit God's kind of love. And God is love. And love blesses. And love brings joy into people's lives. And so, Lord, search my heart this morning. Try my reins and help me to have a joyful heart, a merry heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to wait on the Lord a minute here. I just feel like there's something the Lord wants us to focus on, and I don't know what it is, but just wait on the Lord. Just wait just a minute on Him. I think it's the oil can. I think that the Lord is wanting to remind us that there are people in your world, maybe people at your work, people in your family that are having trouble having joy. And God wants to use you as His instrument of oil. He's wanting to use you to bring joy where there is no joy, bring happiness where there is no happiness, to make them smile, make them laugh, to give them some medicine, God's kind of medicine. And so, let's just ask the Lord. Lord, this morning, as I face a new week, show me that person in my life that I can be an oil. Show me that person that I can bring the oil of gladness into their life. Show me that person that needs to see a true happy person. Show me that person, Lord, that I can have an impact on this week by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring joy to an otherwise dark world. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You got a song for us? Anything? There you go. All right. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my vibrate. Give me oil in my lamp. Me burning, 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 burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Give me, I don't know. There was another verse. You know, I got to tell you something funny, since this is the funny day. I picked up Floyd a couple weeks ago, and I had this song playing from my phone, Bluetooth, and it was displayed up here, but it cut off the rest of it, and it just said, give me oil. He thought something was wrong with my car. Isn't that funny? He's like, what's wrong with your car? It's saying, give me oil. I said, it's a song. Yeah, I know. He didn't call me. I'm not sure what's going on. I should have called him. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Give someone a hug before you go.